Gentlemen, start your engines.
Tune up your motorsports knowledge. Power Up Motorsports Channel.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. Just like that bad rash, we keep coming back week after week after week after week. Hope you had a good one watching racing this past weekend. Of course, we had no Sprint Cup action last weekend. That'll change this weekend. It's going to be a very busy weekend. NASCAR Sprint Cup back in action at Phoenix, where I will be. And we'll be talking about our special programming here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel later on, as Mike Knight, the host of the Race Report, is here in the Power Up Channel. Also, a good longtime friend of mine will join me to not only talk about that, but the race weekend coming up, NASCAR, NHRA, IndyCar, all of that. Speaking of IndyCar, we'll talk about that a little bit tonight, because they are headed to Barber Motorsports Park this weekend, where the Grand Am Rolex Series will be. Bert Frizzell, who drives for the AIM Autosport team, will stop by to give us a little preview of what they're going to be doing down there with their third race of the season. And nine-time ARCA Series champion Frank Kimmel from down in my neck of the woods of southern Indiana. He's a nine-time winner at Salem Speedway, a half-mile racetrack not far from where I grew up as a kid. He is going to be on board later on. But first, why don't we kick things off by talking a little IndyCar. Well, joining me now on Pit Pass USA, a young man that I have known for several years. I actually knew him when he was single and when he met his wife down at Surfers Paradise down in Australia. And right now he's on top of the world. He's part of a new team that has come to the IndyCar ranks and off to a really good start. Almost got the pole at the season opener in Brazil and wound up sixth last time out in St. Petersburg. Alex Tagliani. Tags, welcome. Glad to talk to you, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, it has been a good start to the season. First, let's talk about this new team that you're a part of. How did this all come together, and the people that are involved with the team?
Well, it's a friend of mine in Montreal, a successful business guy, and became friends throughout the 2009 season, and invited him to a couple races, and his passion has been cars, and looking into starting a team, and he has like lots of other interests being involved in racing. So I think that was the first step, and then it was just a lot of luck, actually, because Rob Edwards, a guy that I knew for a long time, worked with him, was available as well. So we talked to him, and from him it actually really got together, because the people that he put together for this team is absolutely amazing, and I think it shows into the result. I'm involved, as a part owner, but mainly, my responsibility was to bring a little bit of contact and drive, and Jim Frudenberg, same thing, runs the commercial division here in Indianapolis, and Andre Azzi. So, we just put together, this team, and then the people came with Rob's contact and work and everything. So that's how it happened.
Okay, let's get the name of the team, because I'm not sure myself. For those people that don't know, is it Fast or Fast?
It's just Fast. Like the second way was perfect. We wanted the simple Fast, but it was taken. And then we were in an airplane, coming down to Indianapolis to visit, and we were playing with names and logos, and Jim Frudenberg is F, Andre Azzi is the A, ZZ, and then Tagliani is the T. So we kind of stuck with that and just built the logo around it. And then because there's three partners, we added those three lines at the end of the logo. So it's there's a little bit of thought process into that. Everybody's curious about the name, but that's how it came about.
We're talking with Alex Tagliani here in Pit Pass USA, who is part owner and driver with Fast Motorsports in the IndyCar Series, getting ready to go to Barber Motorsports Park this upcoming weekend. And And Alex, you got to be on top of the world. I mean, you know, there was a portion of time when you were actually running, I believe, the Canadian Tire Series up in Canada, your native Canada. You got a chance last year to run with Conquest Sum, wound up running at the Indianapolis 500 Rookie of the Year. But, you know, the future was you scraping along trying to find rides, and now here you've got this whole deal put together, and you guys really have come out of the box very, very strong. You got to be riding very high right now.
Yeah, I think I'm very fortunate. You know, I'm very appreciative. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that have been in my position, and, you know, sometimes it's very difficult. You know, I'm not a very good spectator. Watching races on TV is probably the hardest thing you can ever do as a driver, and I've been there, you know, this particular situation is fantastic because...
Tweets and it looks like the race team, they're going to the wind tunnel, they're doing this, they're doing that, you're involved at the race shop. I mean, this isn't a team that's just sitting there and struggling to get started. You guys are going full bore and using every resource available.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think the philosophy of Andre is to start a company, and when he starts a company, you know, like he's investing money into it, and he wants the company to be successful, and, you know, he's taking care of that. Rob is taking care of all the operation side with the engineer, and everybody put so much art into it. You know, I mean, Alex Timmerman drove 20 hours, you know, to Texas to go do some wind tunnel with some front wings, and right after St. Pete, Alan McDonald, the engineer, and Brandon and Robert left, and they went to the seven-post rig, and then they drove all night, you know, to go back to the airport, and then Alan went to meet Alex Timmermans to the wind tunnel. So it's sometimes there's a lot of work that's going around behind the scene that nobody really knows, but it's nice to see, you know, the passion and the heart that people here in the shop and everybody involved in the team is putting to be successful. So it's very good atmosphere, it's very good chemistry between everyone, and I think I need to take my hat off to Rob, because he's the one that definitely knows how to put guys and brings, you know, a chemistry together, and he's been doing it in a very short period of time, so we're very happy with that.
Well, everyone's also got to be pumped up, too, with what you have done the first two times out at Sao Paulo. Very close to getting the pole there. You started second. Unfortunately, an early accident took you out, sixth, I believe, at St. Petersburg. Now you're getting ready to go to Barber. The prospects look good, and especially with this road street circuit mix at the very beginning, it fits right into your wheelhouse and allows a team to get on par with the Penske's and the Ganassi's and all.
Yeah, it's correct. I mean, we had a plan. We wanted to come out strong out of the box, and we wanted to make those first four races like big for us, because we know we have like a little bit of catch up to do on the ovals. But Brazil was a great showing. Our sponsors were there, BMW, Bowers and Wilkins speakers were there. So it was a great way to start the season. And you know, we surprised a lot of people. And then in St. Pete, finished sixth with a great call from Rob Edwards again, and ran 51 laps on a set of tires. So Firestone definitely allowed me to run long on the same set. So it was a good finish. But, you know, we have our challenges. We know what's coming. You know, like there's going to be tracks where we're probably going to try to find the setup and try to, you know, get ourselves in the window. I never been to Barber. I was not there at the test. So with very short amount of practice time, we're definitely going to have to get our heads down and get ourselves in the window. Long Beach is a track that I'm waiting, you know. Hopefully we'll be very quick there. And then we start like some ovals. So there's going to be some challenges in the team, but you know, we have the tools, we have what it takes to beat anyone out there. We just have to get ourselves like just in the window and get a little bit of data, accumulate, you know, what we need as experience, you know, together, and just put it on the track.
Speaking of challenges, this young team is taking on the challenge of fielding a second car at the Indianapolis 500 for Bruno Junqueira, who last year stepped out of a second Conquest car when you got bumped from the starting field. You moved into that car, started at the back of the field, wound up Rookie of the Year, and it's kind of nice to see this, knowing Bruno and what he did. He didn't gripe about it last year, and you guys, even though you're a young startup team, to give him a chance. How did this all come about?
Well, I think it was a team decision. You know, first of all, I was very fortunate to get a couple of races and a chance from Conquest to race last year, and one of those races was Indianapolis 500. And, you know, you can only be rookie once when you show up for the first time, and that was my first year. So I wanted to try my best. The car was very decent all month long, so we were easily in the field. So we qualified, and we were like 25th. And then slowly but surely, what happened in the second and the last bump day, you know, guys were running quick. The day was quicker, and then we gambled. And you know, like at the end of the day, you know, like when it was over, we realized that we were sitting in the pits and we didn't have a chance to do a lap. So it was very unfortunate for us, but because I was finally, like, you know, the number one driver in the team, it was great that you know, Conquest decided to do this move. But it also required Bruno to be very you know, gentleman about it, and he did. We know each other for a long time, and this opportunity came about where Andre wanted to put together a second car for Indianapolis. And I think the logical choice was to see if Bruno was available and to try and to give him a chance. So it's great. I think he's a good competitor. I think he has a lot of experience around the Indianapolis 500. So I think it's good for both of us. You know, myself, the team, and him. So you know, like, we're trying to be nice, but it was all in all a great team decision. And hopefully we'll have a good race for our team first year at Indy.
Well, it's also going to give you more data at Indianapolis, and being a young startup team, that could be huge for you.
It's actually very important this year, especially, Larry, because the Indy 500 month of May is now reduced to 2 weeks. And I think it was a very good decision from Siri. And now it's going to be condensed, so there's going to be less downtime. But because it's condensed, you know, like, you don't have a lot of time to waste around in the garages and redo your setup and try a couple of other things. So having two cars running out there at the same time is quite important. And we have a little bit of work to do to try to complete the budget on Bruno's car, so we can do a full program. But it's coming along well, so we're happy about that. And if we can, then we'll have two strong cars on the track.
Well, Alex, I want to give you great congratulations on not only the start to the season, but the new race team. And best of luck all season, and hopefully our paths will cross in the month of May down at the Speedway.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That is Alex Tagliani, one of the great guys. I've known Alex for, boy, I don't know, like about 10 years or so. Knew him when he raced in Atlantics and then moved up to the Kart Series and then Champ Car. And now it seems like things are going very well for him at IndyCar. That's good to see. Good things happening to good people, and that's one of the good people there. Well, next up, we're going to turn our attention to the Grand-Am Rolex Series. They are back in action this weekend at Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama. I'll talk to Bert Frizzell from the AIM Autosport team. We'll be returning to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry here on the Power Up Motorsports channel. Power Up, your motorsports channel. See it, read it, feel it.
What's it like behind closed garage doors, where the decisions are made that change motorsports? You'll find out on The Race Reporters, because host Michael Knight has been there. He's a 40-year industry insider and award-winning writer and publicist. Each week, Knight brings together the country's top journalists and newsmakers, and their insights will make you a better race fan. The Race Reporters, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Want to join our pit crew? Are you a motorsports expert? Jump into the driver's seat and get your voice heard. To learn more about our broadcasting opportunities, contact us at 480-294-6417. That's 480-294-6417. Or email us at info@voiceamericanetwork.com. That's info@voiceamericanetwork.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
The Grand-Am Rolex Series back in action this weekend. They're at Barber Motorsports Park down in Alabama. They are also racing in conjunction with the IndyCar Series. And joining me now is the co-driver for the AIM Autosport, Ford Riley. And that is, and I'm going to get this wrong, I bet, Bert Frizzell?
That's exactly correct.
There's too many of you Frizzells.
Yeah, that's a good thing, though. I got my brother racing another Ford Riley, and we like to keep it a little confusing, but hopefully we're both up there at the end.
Well, you do have him, your brother, and then your dad. It's all these Bs with the Frizzell family. So
yeah, it's all Bs.
do you just go like B1, B2, B3?
Yeah, I think we all respond to any name, so we're good that way. If somebody calls me Brian, Bert, or Brad, I'll respond.
Well, we got it right. Bert Frizzell, who drives for AIM Autosport, getting ready to head down to Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama, as I mentioned. Pretty solid start to the season for you and co-driver Mark Wilkins. Great qualifying run at the Rolex 24, top five finish, and fairly good finish down two at Homestead Miami second time out. So you've got to be happy to this point.
Yeah, I mean, we're happy. We're thrilled to be up in, I think we're in third right now in the championship, so we're really happy with our points. But now we just got to get up on that podium or win this race down in Alabama. And, you know, it's a long season relatively, so we know that, you know, every race is important. But we're thrilled to be starting it off. Neither Mark or I have had a chance to start so well in the points. It's always like we're coming back. And this year, to start with some momentum, Mark went down and won in his class at Sebring, so we're really riding some good momentum here, and we got to get down to Barber and let them have it.
Now, Barber's a very interesting track. It is not that wide open. Is it one of the tougher tracks that you race on?
It's a pretty technical track. I mean, I believe it was designed for motorcycles. It's probably one of the most beautiful facilities we race at, but it is tight, so passing's tough, and obviously working GT traffic becomes critical, particularly near the end of the race as you're really battling for position. So, you know, those are the two things that are different than from, like, Daytona or Homestead where we ran earlier, where you have so much of the oval to take advantage of the GT guys. Here you got to really time things well so you don't get caught out.
What do you do with all the time off between races? Do the guys just back of the shop get the cars ready most of the time?
Yeah, you know, they spend a lot of time going through the car. They've been working very hard on, you know, making sure we've been keeping our weight down this year, which is great. I know they had a few show appearances that they've done with the car this last month, but this, I believe, is our longest stretch between races, and it gets tough, you know, because you come out of the race in Homestead, and the first thing you want to do is go race again the next weekend. And so for the drivers, we just train really hard. We obviously watch a lot of the racing on TV, and just try to stay mentally prepared for our next race.
We're talking with Bert Frizzell here on Pit Pass USA, co-driver of the AIM Autosport Ford Riley in the Grand Am Rolex Series. They are racing at Barber Motorsports Park this weekend. And Bert, what's it been like for you with Mark Wilkins? I mean, it's not the first time you two have been together, but you mentioned he also ran down at the 12 Hours of Sebring, had a great finish there. But you and he coming together in the cockpit, especially on these shorter races, you guys really have to be on the same page.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. We both he's a left foot breaker, I'm a right foot breaker, so we like a little bit difference in the way the car brakes. But other than that, we're always pretty much on the same page in what we want out of the car. We just work hard together. Depending on kind of who's finishing and who's qualifying this week, he'll be qualifying the car, and I'll be finishing. And we just put our heads together, work really hard with our engineering and Willis. And that's one of the coolest things about sports car racing is that it's not all just what you want. Even though at times you kind of wish it was, you got to compromise, and it takes both drivers getting what they need out of the car to do well, especially when you're going up against the Ganassis, the Gainsco's, SunTrust, and Shank Racing. You've got to really make sure the drivers are communicating well and everyone's on the same page.
You mentioned Shank Racing. That's where your brother races. What's it like going up against him? I'm sure it's not the first time that you and him have gone tire to tire.
No, it's great. I have to say, if in terms of everybody else out there, we're rooting for each other, but we're also super competitive with each other. So, you hate it. At Homestead, he had an incident on the first lap, and, it affects you. You're bummed for him, but you got to go do your job. So it's great to have family, though, in the series. We're best friends off the track, my brother and I, and we're great competitors on the track. So I'm a fan of his. He's a fan of mine. But come race day, the gloves come off, and we just got to do what's best for our team.
And both of you also have that Roush Yates power under the hood. What's that like? I know they've been working very, very hard to give you more power on the racetrack.
Yeah, they're the best. I mean, I wouldn't want to work with any other guys in the Ford Roush Yates Racing guys. I mean, they're dedicated to their craft. They provide unbelievable reliability, and the power's wonderful. We've definitely are working on stepping up our game with the Dynan engines expanding into the Ganassi cars, and those are some strong power plants as well. So I always know, though, with Ford, they'll always keep digging, and we'll always have some of the best power in the paddock.
Are you surprised that, maybe you're not, that the Chip Ganassi team, they switch engines in the off season and come out as strong as they did, as second at the Rolex 24, and then they wind up at Homestead Miami? Is that a shock or not?
No, that's not a shock. Not with an organization like that. They've been in the series long enough. They have such great resources, very great people. In racing, it's about, obviously, resources are huge, but it's also about the people. And that team, that organization, has both the resources and the people, and they run a great program. And you knew bringing on Dynan had been in the series, I believe, since 2003 or 2004 at the latest. So he's been developing his program for a long time, too. So really it was combining two very experienced partners, and their success is showing. So it just makes you have to continue to try to raise your game, and it's great because it pushes everybody to the next step of development and speed. I mean, that's why it seems like every year our lap times keep on dropping, and that just shows you it's organizations like Ganassi that really push that forward.
Time with Bert Frizzell here, co-driver with Mark Wilkins of the number 61 AIM Autosport Ford Riley in the Grand Am Rolex Series. Again, they're going to Barber Motorsports Park this weekend for their third event of the season. And Bert, what about racing for a team that's based in Toronto? I guess, we kind of get America-phobic here in the States. We think all the race shops are either in Charlotte, North Carolina, or Indianapolis, but we got to realize that there are also race teams and race shops that aren't in those locations.
Yeah, exactly. Up in Toronto is where AIM Autosport's located, and they actually are around a lot of other great racing people in terms of having Multimatic just down the street. And so there's a really good community up there, and the Canadians are dedicated to sports car racing and open-wheel racing like you wouldn't believe. And we've got some great relationships with sponsors. We have Pacific Mobile on the car again this week. So, I'm really proud to be able to run, especially for the only Canadian team in the series. And, my co-driver is a Canadian, young Canadian kid. So it's pretty neat. It's so fun to go up to Montreal when we do that and to be a Canadian team. And those guys have a lot to be proud of. I mean, they're They really do a great job representing Canada. They've won races, and they field a car that's capable of winning the championship.
Now, you live out in Aspen, Colorado. How much time do you spend on the ski slopes?
You know what? I was just out this weekend. They're closing down. We're coming here to the end of our ski season. There's plenty of snow, but, you know, that's what the contracts with the U.S. government and require. But, you know, it's great skiing still. The spring skiing is wonderful, and it was a late winter for us. We kind of didn't have much snow in January, but we got pounded in March. So my girlfriend used to ski race, so I take her out, and she kicks my butt out there, and it's a lot of fun.
Did you ever think about becoming possibly a professional skier? I know a lot of race car drivers have had skiing, or they love skiing, and I've known one or two that actually started as skiers.
Yeah, you know, I never thought of doing it professionally. Cars was always in my blood, but I would say that I definitely am not afraid of the speed on the mountain, but the older I get, the more I realize it's pretty easy to injure yourself skiing. You see people getting dragged off the mountain just about every day. So I'm careful now because I really want to be able to focus 100% on racing and not have a silly accident affect my season. But that doesn't keep me from getting out and hiking up to some of the more challenging terrain that we have here. We have Highlands Bowl, which is just beautiful. It takes you up over 12,000 feet. And, you know, when you live in an area like Aspen, utilizing all it has to offer from the mountain biking, the hiking, the skiing, it's just a community of athletes. And I believe Aspen sent more athletes from our valley to the Olympics than any other city in the country.
Well, I would also think that skiing gives you that adrenaline rush when you're away from the racetrack in the race car.
Oh, it does. I mean, it's especially, you know, my brother and I, every now and then we get to the top of Aspen Mountain. We say, okay, let's see how fast we can get to the bottom now. So it gives you that rush. But our cousin who used to do very serious high-level ski racing, he always reminds us that there's still a whole other level above us. So it's pretty fun.
Well, Bert, we wish you the best of luck this weekend down at Barber. Safe trip, and we'll be looking for great results.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, Barber, it's always a good show, so I think the fans will enjoy it, and look for that AIM Autosport car to be right up there at the front.
That is Bert Frizzell, AIM Autosport. They will be down at Barber Motorsports Park. Daytona Prototype is what they run. It is Ford Riley. Going to be interesting to see what they can do because it really was a motorcycle track originally. The IndyCars are down there. IndyCars did have an open test, though, what was it, a couple of months ago or a month and a half ago? I lose track of time. So they've had a little of on-track experience down there. But it's a very, very tight race course. Going to be interesting to see what they do. Well, next up, we'll turn our attention to stock car racing, but it'll be from the ARCA Series. We'll talk to the 9-time series champion, Frank Kimmel, when we return to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. From IndyCar Racing to Powerboats to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the US Open twice? 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
everything motorsports. See it, breathe it, feel it. PowerUpChannel.com.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
If you want to watch exciting stock car racing, yeah, you can watch NASCAR, but I always like the ARCA series because I tell you what, they go after each other left and right, lots of young stars, some guys who have been around for a while, and people like my next guest. He is a 9-time series champion. He's still going for number 10 out on the racetrack, and he's also this weekend going for his 10th win at tricky little half-mile Salem Speedway in Salem, Indiana. That is Frank Kimmel. Frank, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, this weekend you're going to your home track, and I'm going to call it my home track since I grew up about 20 miles from there, Salem Speedway, a tough little half-mile racetrack. These are the kind of the tracks that separate the men from the boys, don't they?
Well, I don't know. It's Salem is definitely an eye-opener for competitors as well as fans, and it's such a different place and really, really fast and not a lot of room, and usually when somebody makes a mistake, everybody kind of gets a part of it, so we try to get through that as clean as we can.
Is it kind of a fun place? I mean, one, it's in your backyard. You're, what, about 30 minutes, I think, from Clarksville where you live or so, according to traffic, because you got to go down those two-lane roads, which
exactly
you get right. You get behind the wrong truck, and it's going to take you a lot longer than that. But, you know, it's there with the family can go. You've been to the racetrack so many times, and it's a fun place. It's kind of a neighborly place when you go there, but, boy, the racing has always been intense.
It really is, and of course you drive into Salem, the city or town of Salem, and you go through the square to get to the racetrack. And I always like those little towns with the city squares there. So it's a neat place for us. I mean, we have so many fans that come out there, and they expect us to run well. We expect ourselves to run well. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves there to be very competitive. And I think at one point in our career, we had won, I think, 5 races in a row with that track, and counting the fall and spring and fall race. And I told people, I said, just to finish 5 in a row here is amazing, much less try to win them. So it's a rough joint, and we really look forward to going back, and a lot of good support there.
Frank, I don't want to put you in the rocking chair yet, but you've been around the ARCA series for quite a while, and this is kind of a discussion I've had with the president of ARCA, Ron Draeger, from time to time, how ARCA has changed the last few years with now, NASCAR teams having developmental drivers, and they're using their people, plus now the influx of the old cup cars that have come to the series, and with downsizing NASCAR, crew chiefs and team members have come in. It has really changed the face of ARCA a little bit, hasn't it?
It really has. It's made it much more competitive, and a lot of really good race cars now. And I think it's as you mentioned, probably the most important thing is the information and the crew chiefs and all that are coming straight from the Cup Series are now right here. And so it's made us really step up to the plate and get better and try to make our cars faster because these young kids are coming in with very good support and very good equipment and great knowledge behind them. So it makes it tougher for us. We can't just rest on our laurels anymore.
How tough is that, though, in someone like a Frank Kimmel and your brother Bill, who's been your crew chief and helped you out over the years, when you see a team like a Ganassi will come in with a developmental driver or a Hendrick or an RCR or a Roush, and they've got access to 7 post shakers and all this information they've got, and here you are, you've got your shop, and you guys are... You do what you can, but you don't have all those multi-million-dollar tools.
Well, it does make it more difficult, for sure. And the technology and the stuff we're doing with springs and shocks and everything now is, we still do a little bit of the trial and error deal. We go and test or go to the racetrack and try something, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's made it much more difficult for us. And we've kind of fought the resistance a little bit trying to do what we know, but now probably since about mid-season of last year, we really start stepping up and learning what we were doing and trying to get better at it. And I think this year it's going to show on the racetrack that our cars are much better than they were.
Time for Frank Kimmel, the 9-time ARCA Racing Series champion here on Pit Pass USA. They're getting ready to run the half-mile track down in Salem, Indiana, the little Salem Speedway. And Frank, what do you feel like with these new kids that are coming in? What's your reaction to them? Are they good, tough-nosed kids? I mean, they're 17 and 18, my gosh. They're wet behind the ears, yet they all seem to have this great racing knowledge.
They really do. I mean, the face of racing has changed tremendously, and these young kids, including, you know, my son Frankie and Bill's son Will, you know, have been racing since 8-10 years old, and you know, they've been to several different racetracks across the country already by the time they actually get their driver's license. So, you know, they have a tremendous amount of experience, and some come in and do really, really well. I mean, they're very talented young men, and they do a great job driving a race car, and as we've seen the last couple of years, that these young guys are really working hard to run well. So, you know, that's changed, and it's changed the way we look at racing. And back when I started, you know, you couldn't go into the race and buy a race car like Bob Keselowski had or Bill Venturini Sr. and, you know, those kind of guys. It was very difficult to get that kind of equipment. Well, now these kids come in, and their equipment is probably better than most any of us have seen. So it really makes it a much tougher deal, and, you know, we have to really go to work.
How much more do you have to work than you used to?
Well, it's, you know, we're here every single day, and we're working really hard and making our cars as good as we possibly can. We feel like that suspension-wise, we're really caught up some things. Our last race last year at Rockingham was probably our best race of the year. We had a car that felt like probably could have won the race and maybe should have won the race and got it caught up on somebody missing a gear on a restart and messed up the front of the car and just kind of rolled around to the end after that. But that was the first time I felt like all year that we were very, very competitive and had a car that could win. And, you know, we just kept, you know, trial and error, learning what we were doing, trying to make our cars turn better and get caught up to what we were running against. So it's something that, you know, we as racers, we think about it, we dream about it, we wake up middle of the night worrying about it, and eventually we hopefully will catch on and get it figured out.
Is it tougher for you, though, on the racetrack because you've got so many of these young drivers, and maybe it's their first year in ARCA, you don't know what they're going to do, where when you were running against the guys you raced every week for 2 or 3 or 4 years, you had a feel, you knew what they were going to do in certain situations, and you had kind of a comfort factor. Is that comfort factor some ways out the window?
Oh, it really is. I mean, we go every week, and there's times, I think there were 17 or 18 first-time racers at Daytona this year. And most of them all below the age of 25. So, you don't know who you're dealing with on a racetrack. You don't know what their tendencies are. You don't know how much you can trust them. So, you know, we got knocked out of the way 2 or 3 times last year by young kids that were just a little bit overzealous. And eventually that's got to stop, you know, and you got to go after it a little bit harder. And you don't like to be that part of it, but we see it in NASCAR every day now that, you know, this young kid's just pushing their way around. And it makes it a little tougher. You got to really change your driving style a little bit.
Are you having as much fun as you always had?
Well, it's more fun to win. Last year we didn't win, you know, but it's still we're still racing for a living, so that's pretty cool.
That is absolutely cool. And as you mentioned, your son's racing, and I know Will's been dabbling in ARCA from time to time. Your nephew, which has got to be cool. And I know that's kind of why you stepped away and started your own operation, was you had the kids coming up.
Exactly. I mean, we felt like we built a great team and a very strong team with Larry, our ex-car owner, and you know, we got thinking about it. Hell, we don't really have anything of our own. So, you know, my son's he's taking 18 hours right now at UNC Charlotte in engineering. So he's got his hands full, and you know, we're going to race him at Salem again. He's a 2-time track champion, defending track champion up there now, and 19 years old and already won 2 championships at Salem. I think that's pretty remarkable. So we're happy with what he's doing, and Will has done an excellent job and won a championship at Salem also a couple years ago. And I expect him. I believe he's going to get to run this race at Salem. So and actually driving for another team, which I think is the absolute right thing for him to do. And we're looking forward to see how well he runs. I'm sure he'll do great.
So it looks like the Kimmel dynasty is going to live on in racing.
One way or the other, I'm sure it will. That's right.
Well, it's been around for a long time, and we've enjoyed you on the race. Again, I'm not going to put you in the rocking chair quite yet. I don't think you're going to be ready for that for several more years. But with all these kids out here, you could be 35 and feel like you're an old-timer now.
Exactly. We were able to announce a 3-year deal with Ansel and Menards at Daytona this year, so I told some people I feel like we've won the championship already just because of that. Now we got to go out and race on the racetrack, but you know, to get a sponsor and get all that sewn up for the next two or three years is a great deal for us. So,
well, Frank, good luck this year as you go after a 10th championship and a 10th win at Salem this weekend.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That is the one and only Frank Kimmel, 9-time ARCA Series champion. He's headed off to Salem Speedway. It's about, 20 miles from where he lives in Clarksville, Indiana, which is right across from Louisville. It's on the other side of the Ohio River. That's my neck of the woods. I grew up just one county north of there. And great guy. He actually ran in IROC one year. They invited him in. He's actually qualified some cup cars for guys at times when they had other commitments, maybe racing somewhere else, say, in a nationwide race, conflicting on the same day. He's been an Aruba All-American before. Just a great, great guy, just down to earth. And I really do like the ARCA series. And I'm kind of biased because I know the people, and I see this all the time at ARCA, and their headquarters just down the road from where I live in the Detroit area down in Temperance, Michigan, which is about a 45, 50-minute drive away from where I'm doing the show right now. But I do like the ARCA series, and if you get a chance to see them, by all means go. A lot of young guys, a lot of old guys, very friendly. You get to walk out and talk to the guys before the race. It is really, really cool. And speaking of really cool, coming up next, we're going to talk to a longtime friend of mine and also the host of the Race Reporters right here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. Mike Knight will be returned to Pit Pass USA here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
You are on the inside track of motorsports drivers and teams. PowerUpChannel.com.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Listen for The Right Turn with J.J. O'Malley. It's an insider's look at America's fastest-growing motorsports series, the Grand-Am Rolex Sports Car Series, presented by Crown Royal Cask Number 16. You'll hear about what happened last weekend and get a preview of what's coming up next. From the Rolex 24 at Daytona through Watkins Glen International, Mid-Ohio, Laguna Seca, right up to the championship at Homestead Miami Speedway. The Right Turn with J.J. O'Malley, broadcast live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time.
Zoom Leadership.
An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
Power up with your favorite motorsport. You're listening to PowerUpChannel.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
Very pleased to welcome to the program someone I have known for a long, long time. I originally knew him when he was the original communications director for Championship Auto Racing Teams. He went on to be the public relations director for Newman Haas Racing, and now, of course, a well-known journalist with the Arizona Republic. You'll see his stuff at azcentral.com, also competitionplus.com, and the host of the Race Reporters right here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. And I think he also has an ice cream truck that he runs occasionally in his spare time down there in Phoenix, Arizona, Mike Knight. Mike, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Larry, thanks for the invitation to appear on Pit Pass USA. Mid-80s temperatures this weekend, Friday and Saturday at Phoenix International Raceway.
So I won't melt too much then.
No, I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about everything. You cover everything in the world, NASCAR, NHRA. You write about both. And, of course, you're very well versed in the IndyCar ranks. And let's just quickly touch on IndyCar. Your thoughts, two races into the season, one in Brazil, one in St. Petersburg. Both had some weather problems. One got delayed a day. The other one had a big rainstorm down in Brazil. But what's your take here early on the IndyCar season?
Well, the first thing you have to say is obviously Will Power coming out of the box winning the first two races. Great comeback story after his back injury at Infineon Raceway last year. Roger Penske kept the seat open for him. You and I remember when Roger did that for Rick Mears, for example, when Rick was injured in 1984, came back and obviously won a couple of more Indies for Roger. That's the first time since Sam Hornish won the first two races of the 2001 season that a driver has opened up IndyCar Series by winning the first two races. And, of course, Sam did go on to win the championship that year. So I think going forward, they race this weekend a new event in Alabama at the Barber Motorsports Park. Qualifying is going to be all important there, going to be extremely difficult to pass given the current layout of that track. The two things to watch for there, I would say, is that I have a sneaking suspicion that Will may have his teammates spooked, perhaps Ryan Briscoe in particular. I think Elio, as usual, has got his mind focused on Indianapolis and trying to become a four-time winner there. The other thing to watch for this weekend, apparently the spectator situation is looking pretty good. Seems like a lot of enthusiasm. But again, as you know, I focus on the business of racing. And if Tiger Woods makes the cut at the Masters and they're on versus yep. up against the Tiger, perhaps in contention at the final round of the Masters, a combination of the Hubble telescope and the best electron microscope at MIT won't be able to find any audience.
Absolutely so. NHRA, of course, you also cover that, especially with your CompetitionPlus.com articles there. I think one of the great stories right now is the return of John Force. Phenomenal start. Two wins already. Another final round appearance on top of that. Just a great start for the guy that's coming back from near-fatal injuries.
Fantastic. It's probably the best thing that could happen to NHRA right now. I'll put in a plug, Larry, is June 9 will be the one-year anniversary of the Race Reporters. John Force was my very first guest, and he will come back on June 9th for my one-year anniversary show. I think it was great that John especially won the four-wide nationals at Charlotte. Daughter Ashley Force Hood was also in the finals there. Unfortunately, as with other racing that weekend, it got forced over into Monday and rained. Because of rain, as I reported on CompetitionPlus.com today, four wide, despite the hype, really didn't do much for the TV ratings on ESPN2. It was probably a lost opportunity, and now I think is typical in NHRA, all the drivers were being pretty much politically correct, so to speak, in their media comments that weekend. But now it's clearly come out that the overwhelming majority of drivers and team owners are not in favor of four-wide racing. The pro organization, professional racers organization, and owners organization voted overwhelmingly that they do not want to do any more four-wide racing, at least not as a points-paying event. And I don't believe in exhibition races. I think it's clearly established that all-star-type races don't work in auto racing, NASCARs aside. We've seen them come and go in NHRA, in CART, et cetera. Bruton Smith said he wanted to add two lanes to Las Vegas to make that a four-wide event. Slightly under the surface, I think there's a substantial amount of business turmoil and management turmoil within the NHRA pit area right now. And as interesting as it was as a one-time spectacle, four wide, it has now clearly come out that the drivers and the owners are not in favor of doing that anymore. So that controversy is there. Hopefully, if you're an NHRA fan, probably the best thing you could like to see is John Force and Ashley Force Hood battling each other for the Funny Car Championship, and
maybe more Tony Schumacher or Larry Dixon in Top Fuel, although, you know, all credit to Corey McLenathan, great start this year in Top Fuel, and a really a great story as well.
Let's talk about this weekend. NASCAR coming out to your neck of the woods out at Phoenix International Raceway, and I'll be joining you out there because we're doing 4 hours of broadcasting here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel on Saturday. Jimmy Johnson, that's all I hear, the 48, the 48, the 48, and they're winning races early. He keeps this up, and they don't peak too early. He could have the championship wrapped up with all the bonus points halfway through the 10 races of the chase.
Well, at the risk of throwing cold water on the upcoming race weekend, for those who complain about the dominance of Jimmy Johnson, here are two facts. Hendrick Motorsports has won the last six consecutive Sprint Cup races at Phoenix International Raceway. Jimmy Johnson has won three of the last four. I do not expect, and nor have any of the drivers or crew chiefs that I've spoken with, anticipate that the fact that the cars will have spoilers on this weekend as opposed to the rear wing, just the second race with the spoiler, is going to have a big impact at Phoenix. Texas is really the first track where that's supposed to come down. But I'm not one of these who bemoans the Jimmy Johnson dominance. I mean, I think throughout the history of sports in America, whether it's the Green Bay Packers or the Boston Celtics, Dallas Cowboys, New York Yankees, we've celebrated excellence in sports, and I don't see any reason why NASCAR fans and the greater sporting public should not salute the excellence of Jimmy Johnson, Chad Knaus, Hendrick Motorsports, and number 48 Chevrolet.
Absolutely so. It's just like the Yankees or the Boston Celtics or the LA Lakers. When it was showtime, just give them their props. Get better and beat them. That's the bottom line. Get better and beat them. If you can't, they deserve to be the winners. Very quickly, I want to talk to you about, one, your show tomorrow night. You got one of the great guys on, Max Pappas, tomorrow night on the Race Reporters. I love Max. He is one crazy guy. And then this weekend, you and I are together out at PIR, the Power Motorsports Channel, from noon to 4 local time out at the track, which is, what, 3 to 7 on the East Coast. We're going to be doing 4 hours of broadcasting from out there. We're all lining up special guests out there. Kind of looking forward to this. It's going to be kind of fun, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and the other thing, Larry, is that this is really a weekend of change at Phoenix. The race distance has been increased 63 laps to just over, they measure these races sillily, pardon the word, in my opinion, in kilometers out here. They don't teach the metric system in the American public school system. But 600 is a promotional number. It's 375 laps because of NASCAR's earlier starting times. Brian Sperber, the president of PIR, got NASCAR to add 63 laps to the distance so that the event will still end at the evening, which is the first evening type of race of the year. They've reconfigured grandstand seats. The spoilers are in play. There's just a lot of change here this weekend, and, you know, I think for Power Up Channel to have 4 hours of live exclusive programming is a great boost to your work, to the work that everyone at the network has done. As you say, the programming will start at 3 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be on with a special one-hour live race reporters starting at 4, and we'll be airing out all the issues with a lot of the national media out at PIR to cover the Subway Fresh Fit 600K.
I'm looking forward to it. I know I've got David Reagan already lined up. I think Jamie Allison, the director of Ford Racing, is going to stop by. And if the stars align, I'll be talking to Roger Penske. But the stars have to align completely to get the captain on the show. But I'll know more once we get out there. Michael, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person. It's always great because we can sit there and swap lies from the past. Some great, great war stories from all the racing days with IndyCar and CART. And talk about some great racing. I look forward to seeing you on probably Thursday or maybe Friday morning, bright and early, when they hit the track at 8 a.m.
Larry, thanks for all of your many contributions to racing over the years. Thanks for your support and help with the race reporters. And you mentioned Roger Penske in the Arizona Republic on Saturday. I'll do my signature coverage for the Arizona Republic, my Q&A conversation with Kurt Busch, who might be the number one contender to oust Jimmy Johnson for the Sprint Cup this year. At least that's what Dustin Long and Ron LeMasters and I all agreed on my show last week. And, of course, he's already won this year in Rogers' number two Miller Lite Dodge.
Don't forget, tomorrow night, the Race Reporter's Mike Knight, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. I will talk to you from Phoenix International Raceway on Saturday, beginning at 12 noon Pacific Time. Till then, take care, and we'll see you at the racetrack.
For this week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.